and shout! This is Chris Abalo's podcast experiment, and I am Chris Abalo. Welcome to the show. Coming to you live from Skid Row Studios and streaming live at skidrowstudios.com every Monday at 9 p.m. So tune in live, check out the show. And this show is brought to you by Dollar Shave Club. Razors are expensive, and they're a pain to go out and get them and have the cashier try to get them out of that goofy little plastic lockbox that never opens properly, and they got to call a second person over to help them out so they can remove the razors. It's not worth it. Dollar Shave Club sends high-quality razors right to your door for as little as a dollar a month. Choose from all different razors. Choose from different grooming products, shaving products. I use the Executive Razor. Why? Because I'm fancy and because I shave every day. So I use the strongest blade possible. It's got like six blades in it. It's awesome. Sign up and save yourself some trouble. Go to dollarshaveclub.com/cape and see what they have going. Subscribe. Ladies, you too. You know you want to use razors every day. Even if your man doesn't. If he's one of those bearded people, you still need razors. So dollarshaveclub.com/cape. And we thank them for sponsoring the show. And thank you, everybody, for your continued support of the show. Thanks for clicking through the Amazon banner at chrisabalo.com, which you can find at the support the show tab at chrisabalo.com. We do appreciate that. I appreciate everybody bookmarking that and checking out our sponsors. And also the feedback I got from last week. Incidentally, the song that opened up this show is a song called Stand Up by Sammy Hagar from what ends up being the ironically titled album Not For Sale, because it's currently not for sale. Because it's one of those cases where the record company went out of business. So the CD's out of print, and who knows if there are digital rights to it. So you can't buy it digitally either. But in my continued support for everything Sammy Hagar, I had to play the song. So there we go. And thanks, everybody, who also reached out and gave a lot of good feedback on the incredibly biased Van Halen heavy show from last week. I definitely appreciate that as well. And always happy to support Sammy and Van Halen. Even had a dream that Eddie heard the show and was getting mad at me. And I was still trying to make amends and get the band back together with Sammy and Michael Anthony. It didn't really happen. But anyway, continue to show support by going through the Amazon link at chrisabalo.com, by visiting dollarshaveclub.com/cape. This show is free, will always be free, but we like doing the show here at Skid Row Studios, and that costs money. Now, granted, if we weren't doing the show here, I'd be doing it somewhere else because, well, I'm just that stubborn. I'd be doing a show anywhere else, but it's nice doing it from here. Speaking of me being stubborn, that is known best by my cohorts from the only podcast that matters, who about 5 years ago, we started doing shows together and went to 200 episodes, packed it in this past December, but everyone has gone on to do various different things. And one of the founding members, one of my cohorts, co-hosts, whatever you like, he is on the phone to talk about his new project. So everybody, welcome to the show. The first only podcast that matters alumni on the show. Everyone welcome, Ryan Taggart.
Hello, Chris.
Hello, Ryan. How's it going?
Hello. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, I'm thrilled to have you on the show. You have the distinction of being the first alumni of the only podcast that matters, of the at least the original four, and mostly out of the extended family, of being on Cape. So congratulations.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And it's the first time you're a guest on somebody else's podcast, too, so that's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, that is also correct. Yeah. Popping all kinds of cherries tonight.
Yeah, which you beat me to that, because I have a bunch of friends who have podcasts, but I think they're afraid to have me on as a guest. I've yet to be a guest on anyone else's show, because they're likely afraid I'm going to take up the whole show by just talking.
And they would be correct.
Yeah, yeah. So I understand it. I can't possibly get mad at anybody for not having me on as a guest, because, as you know, I can fill in an hour on my own yammering about whatever.
I've seen you do it.
Many, many times. Hundreds of times. So Ryan has launched a new website, noseatbeltblog.com, which is a collection of musings from past, present, and will be posts as well in the future. Ryan has the distinction as well of being the first blogger on theonlypodcast.com, where you can find all the stuff we did together, by the way, along with Andrew Rizzitello and Jack DeFranco, and many more. He has had his blog, Revelations and Doorknobs, the incredibly named Revelations and Doorknobs premiere on the website, because he wanted to do more. Andrew was kind of the webmaster, handling all the stuff on the back door of the website. I was editing and posting the shows, and Ryan was just kind of like, I want to do something. So he started writing twice a week.
Needed something to do.
Yeah. And it was great. And for a while, it was twice a week, and then went down to once a week because we were all posting on a daily basis.
Right. And I started running out of ideas, too.
Yeah, it was about right around 3 years ago that you stopped posting on a weekly basis. So what finally has brought you back to doing regular blog posts?
Well, I've always loved writing. Ever since I was a little kid, I've always done creative writing and things like that. And obviously I used to do blogs during the old MySpace days. I'm sure you remember that. So I was writing blogs on MySpace all the time. And then once we had the opportunity to do our podcast, I started doing that. And, once we ended the podcast, I sort of felt an emptiness, if you will. And I sat for a while and didn't do anything. And I just decided that I wanted to do something creative again. So last summer, I started a blog called The Nerd in the Box, which is toy-centric. And that fizzled quickly because I just tunneled myself a little too much. And my wallet wouldn't support, the continuous buying of toys, which I was accustomed to.
Yeah, it's a dangerous habit.
That kind of led to the demise. You've been pushing me a little bit to keep doing something. And I sat in an English class. I'm pursuing another degree at a community college here. And my English teacher was just thrilled by my writing. And she wouldn't leave me alone until I agreed to do something with it. So with that combination of encouragement, I decided to start something new. And here we are.
Brilliant. And I love it. I've always been, as you said, a huge supporter of your writing, because your blog was my favorite one on theonlypodcast.com, even more so than mine, because Ryan is such an, it's the mark of an incredible writer, honestly, because he could, even if I disagreed, I still wanted to know what he had to say. I still want to read his thoughts on a particular subject. And we disagree a lot, but
we do.
in the way you just write everything in such an intelligent way. And so succinct and so entertaining that, you know, I always looked forward to when you were writing your blog every week, because I want to know what it was you had to say. So when you started doing this and kind of opening yourself up beyond just doing toys, it's right. Great, because there's so much, you know, when you're kind of confined, well, in a case like if you're writing just about toys, and you'd be confining yourself to one topic. And if there aren't any developments, like I said, you didn't really have the wallet to support your toy buying habit, at least to the degree that you used to. So then it becomes, exactly. Well, what am I going to write about if I don't have any new stuff? Or if there's no news, that's the other thing. So
exactly. So this is going to open me up to be a little more consistent. So I'm going to be writing about movies, music, toys, food, current events, things that are going on in the world. So that way I'll always have a constant stream of ideas going, and I can be more consistent with it. So I feel like this is going to be better for me for that purpose.
Oh, yeah. And you've already loaded it up with a bunch of blogs, both some of your finest moments from Revelations and Doorknobs at theonlypodcast.com, some of your blogs from Nerd in the Box. So you guys can find that there. Once again, noseatbeltblog.com is where you go. And then new entries as well, along with some of your entries from your English class, which I read through, which were brand new. We're No Seatbelt Blog exclusives. And which I read through and thought, God damn it. If I was your teacher, I would have been adamant that, like, why aren't you doing more with this? But
It was funny, too, is that when I found out that I had to take an English class, I was plenty pissed off because I just wanted to kind of take my core classes and get out. So I was a little annoyed that I had to sit through a college English class again. But I actually loved all of it. It was great to have a support system there and kind of nourish my writing. So I was really happy with it in the end, and it opened a new door for me.
Oh, definitely.
So,
and it's good to kind of, I mean, you from trying something that you thought you wanted to go just beyond doing toys, then something better came out of it. So as much as you had an idea, which was a solid idea, you were able to refine it, and now you have something better, which is more broad, which is more open. Like you said, you can write about whatever you want now, which is great.
Exactly.
A lot of movie stuff, too.
So that's where the title kind of comes from. It's going to be Unrestrained. So, kids, wear your seatbelts. I promise you, I'm not encouraging anything like that. Are you putting your life in danger out on the road?
Yeah, don't be stupid. This isn't a safety-oriented thing at
all. Always
yeah.
buckle up.
Yeah. It's a personal statement about Ryan. It has nothing to do with automotive safety. Wear your seatbelts, please.
Right.
Please.
Don't be stupid.
Yeah. This isn't some kind of credo. It's just a website name, for crying out loud.
Right.
Please be safe. Anyway, so what else do you have going on aside from blogs, which you'll be posting pretty regularly? You've been posting a few on a regular basis. What else do you have going on?
It'll be once or twice a week if I can manage it. So I'll keep it pretty consistent. And our fellow cohort from The Only Podcast That Matters, Jack, and I are working on something new that we'll be bringing to the world in a couple of weeks, hopefully. So I'm not going to say too much about it now. We're going to get some things together and just stay tuned for that. It's going to be fun.
Yes. Oh, and they will hear about it on the show. I promise.
Awesome.
What you guys have going on, yeah, it's going to happen. So noseatbeltblog.com, everybody. That's where you go. And like the Facebook page as well. You can find that over on Facebook. And you can follow Ryan at Tagsonian, which is like Smithsonian, but with T-A-G-G at the front of it, minus the Smith, on Instagram and Twitter, where he has a tremendous toy collection anyway, which he posts very consistently on his Instagram. And one of my favorite things about his Instagram as well is what he'll do on the dry erase board on his fridge is he will take in a semi out of context for the rest of the world except him, a quote from a movie and write it out. And then just post a photo of that. I think he posted one, and I've been harassing him to post them every time he puts up a new one.
I do it for you.
You do.
Every day.
I'm definitely in the target demographic for that. I'm a huge fan.
You are. You always appreciate it, so I'll keep them coming.
So that's one good reason to follow the gentleman on Instagram and Twitter as well. More so, I'd push the Instagram more because he posts more frequently on there. But
I haven't been very active on Twitter. I'm thinking of getting back into it, but I have not tweeted in a while.
Well, now I got something to put. We're all here to shill something. So now that you have something new going on, you could be all over
now
Twitter.
Now I have a reason to get back on the tweet bandwagon.
Yeah, exactly. Do it. Absolutely do it, as our friend Dan would say. And once again, everybody, Tagsonian, you can follow him on social media, like the No Seatbelt blog on Facebook and noseatbeltblog.com. And of course, the links are at chrisabalo.com under the links section. Ryan gets in there because he's a personal friend, a close personal friend, who's an exceptional writer. And man, can he wear the shit out of a two-piece bathing suit. So thank you very much, Ryan, for calling in. I appreciate it. And I can rub the other guy's noses in it. That you've been on the show.
Right. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. Anytime.
All right. Thanks.
All right.
Have a good
Love
show.
You, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye. The great Ryan Taggart. Is it wrong of me to have wanted to send him a message letting him know to be nervous to call into the show? I was really, really tempted to be like, man, you should be worried. I've been doing this for 6 months at the studio, and I'm still terrified to do this on a weekly basis. But I thought, don't do that. It's going to be easy. It's going to be fine. You know each other. You want him to be relaxed. You're a low-pressure kind of host. It'll be fine. But I was really, really tempted. I'm not going to lie. Speaking of The Only Podcast That Matters, this Friday, there will be a new clip show going up on theonlypodcast.com, which as of now is the only place you can find. You can find the show on the Stitcher Radio app as well. iTunes, we're still trying to work out. and try and get the show back on. If you have subscribed, you should be getting the shows that are there. But right now, it's not featured in the iTunes store, so new subscriptions are a little difficult at the moment. But you still go to theonlypodcast.com to check out everything. But this Friday sees the release of a new clip show, which is called X Chromosome Marks the Spot, The Best of the Women on The Only Podcast That Matters, which the high time we gave the many women who have sat in the seats and been on the mics with us their best of show, because they bring in a perspective that us four idiots couldn't have possibly brought in on our own, because, well, we're men, which we're not that smart, but redundant. So going to play a little teaser clip for what's going to be released this Friday. And this is a bit just to set it up slightly, because I wanted to keep the clip shorter than it is on the in the clip show itself. We're talking about how we don't understand the handbag concept when it comes to women. And the aforementioned Andrew is speaking about it. And we were in their apartment when we started for the first year. We were recording the show at Andrew's apartment where he lives with his wife, Veronica. And Veronica gets offended and then steps in and starts defending the handbag necessity to us guys. So we're going to take a quick break. Check out this clip from The Only Podcast That Matters, X Chromosome Marks the Spot, The Best of the Women. And we come back, Larry Rodriguez will be in the studio. So see you guys momentarily.
Maybe it's the designers or, like, you know, shit that you see on TV or whatever. But, I mean, these things are getting bigger than my coffee table, man.
Oh, I believe it. It's about the size of your charger.
Yeah, right?
You know,
it's
just like, need to put wheels on these.
I need someone to park my car. Don't worry, babe.
Yeah. I don't understand what it is. Every woman has a coach.
I don't give a shit. Go back in the room.
Wait.
Make
me
a sandwich.
Do you want to defend?
Do we want the women's perspective here?
This show is your idea.
Yeah. Come over to the
you
mic.
You suggested BitchCast, so please.
Jump right in.
Why are handbags so important?
They're very important. Number one, it's all about style, and the style now is the bigger the bag. So, number one, you guys, all you do is carry around a friggin' $5, a credit card, and a condom. You know, that's it.
But you all take the $5 from us anyway.
Yeah.
Well, that's true, because it's ours anyway.
Yeah, and the condom just gets used on you, so
you just carry
it's all
more
for you.
Of our shit. You just carry more of our
and
shit.
And you've already admitted that you can't. You don't understand the entire wallet principle, because, like, you've put my wallet in your back pocket like I normally
do. It's like a tumor.
And mind you, Chris's wallet is a hell of a lot fatter than mine, not because of the amount of money he has in, but
definitely
because it's just
not that.
That's right, Banca DeFranco.
Yeah. They say that can fuck up your posture.
Huh?
If you have a fat wallet and it's, like, in your back pocket and just from sitting from a long time,
yeah,
it can fuck
it
up
moves
your posture.
Your spine.
Yeah.
I always carry my left pocket.
Well, we'll get into that in another show about why you put things in different pockets.
Yeah, in different pockets.
Man.
Yeah.
Look at your man. Now look at me. Well, you can't.
Anyway, I carry important stuff in my purse. Okay, that's number one. Number two, I have my wallet. I have a brush. I have makeup if I want to wear it. I have paperwork that never comes out of my purse because I forget.
Whoa.
Pictures.
Wait a minute.
Hold on.
Why can't you just get a $10...
No. Before you answer his question, answer mine. When we first started dating, you had a small coach bag.
Yeah.
Now, you and I have gone back and forth about how, like, you know, oh, it's a coach bag, blah, blah, blah.
I still got that bag, too.
See. But, like, I'm not really going to argue over price, because back when we started dating, I wanted every Xbox game known to man.
That's one of the biggest points, though.
Not done.
Obviously.
You had a smaller coach bag, like I described to the guys before, that, you know, kind of just a little shoulder bag. You had all the same shit in it, though. Why the fuck do you need a bigger bag? Does it need air? Is it like a fucking cigar that it has to have fucking, like, ventilation?
Yeah.
You need to carry more crap in my purse.
Carry your groceries home.
Yes, I do. Go through it right now.
I live with you. No, you don't.
Go through it.
You have the same shit.
No, I do not.
8 years ago. Yeah.
No, I do not.
I think it's the same tampon.
Oh.
She opens it, turns to dust.
Dude, yeah.
Regardless.
All right. Ryan.
They're much needed.
Well, as I was saying, why, regardless of the size of the bag, why can't you just buy a $10 bag from...
Because they're ugly.
Any given... It's about style, right?
It's about style. Let me tell you something. If you, dudes do it too. I don't care what you say.
No, we don't.
Any girl, yeah, you do.
When I try to pick out a purse, it's not about style, all right?
No, let me finish what I was going to say. You guys do the same thing too. You will walk into any venue, any place you are, and you'll judge other dudes. Girls, we see a chick who's wearing something gross or wearing an ugly bag, and you're like, damn.
What, in your opinion, do men judge other men on?
I don't judge other dudes in
what
way.
You guys judge.
In what way, though? What can you compare to what men judge on each other in the way a woman will judge a handbag on another woman? Honestly, because this is news to me.
You guys judge man titties. You know you do.
What did you just
man
say?
Titties.
Yeah, but that's not an accessory.
Movies. No.
That's a curse.
You guys still think about it, though. You're like, damn. Mm-hmm.
No, we don't. No, we don't.
No, because right. that's just fellas? Heavier. That's just heavier no. people in general.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah. We don't judge other dudes.
We are talking about women judging other women on accessories, physical, not traits of their body, things that they go out and purchase, like handbags,
yep.
or shoes, or yeah. pants, or clothes.
You right. size each other up way more than we do.
Yes, we do.
Agreed.
Without a doubt. Yes, we do.
Agreed.
It's like, guys are simple. We're like, oh, she's hot. Done.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Girls are like, oh, she's hotter than me.
Yeah. Where'd she get that?
Why is she hotter than me?
Where'd she get that ugly purse?
Where'd she get the shoes? Where'd she get the purse? She got fake boobs. She's got fake lips. She's got a fake ass. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. We don't
care. How many times have I been out with you and said, oh, damn, she's got great hair. I wish I had that hair. That's a nice shirt. I want that shirt. Da, 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 da. You know what I mean?
No,
I've said it.
Yeah, I get it. I know. I live with you. I'm married to you. I know.
And you're going to suffer forever for it.
Oh, that was an evil grin.
Take your mic back. Yeah. Take your mic back.
Yes. It's going to come in handy in divorce court. We have this shit recorded.
Divorce cast.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, Christ. Go back in the room. Go watch your Jersey Housewives or some shit. Whatever. Goodbye, Veronica.
Larry Rodriguez, live in the studio.
Here he is.
Welcome, sir.
Ooh,
thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
Larry was one of the people who shot the repeatedly mentioned web series Scared Houseless, which, if you haven't checked it out, by the way, because I haven't mentioned it in a while, but Candace and John, who are on here all the time, were in that show and was written and directed by Eric Wilson and Dan Lobrace.
Shout out.
That was Cape 33. They were on here. If you want to check them out, starred Sherry had a small part in it. Who's always on the show here? Lauren Sperling as well, who was on the show before, and will likely be back soon. But you know, we'll mm-hmm. play that as it goes. So that's actually how we met as well. Was you were shooting Scare? Which would that be cinematography technically?
For that
director
one, yeah.
Director of photography.
It was directing. It was directing and director of photography. I kind of just was in control of the angles and stuff like that, but it was weird because it's I always have kind of like an original style, I like to think, so it's like it's weird to take over a show that already has a set style. Tuan Dang was the main guy for that. I kind of took over that, just saying, oh, right. Okay, but so you want to do justice to the show's style,
you know? Right,
so just kind of weird. It's like, all right, I'm gonna do my thing, but at the same time not really, so let's see. Yeah,
kind of, because you're filling in, so while there's already a look to it, you need to copy that, but you kind of want to put your own stamp on it as well.
Yeah.
So it's distinctive. Which you do, that's actually one of the things that caught me about your YouTube videos, which was something I don't have, even though I've directed like, I don't know, 20-something web videos.
Yeah.
It's I don't have any visual style. I'm primarily a writer, but I end up directing it because I kind of have an idea how I want it to turn out, or at least with the performances I heard in my head when I wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
I have no visual anything really. Where so it's cool to like watch your stuff and see somebody who has a visual style, because I loved Colorless, which is one of your shorts.
Yes.
And The Hanging Fellow. I have the name right, don't I?
Yes.
Okay. And those will be posted as well, chrisabalo.com. Everybody can look for the Cape 58 post. And check out Larry's channel, which I believe has 3 shorts on it, correct?
Yeah, it should be 3, yeah.
And more to come.
Of course, more to come.
Of course.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Oh, so excited for that. That's why.
So where did you get started? Where were you hatched?
Oh,
and how did you end up out here?
I was hatched. So I hate this because I was born in Santa Maria, California. All right. And then at the age of like 2, moved to Las Vegas. And so I just tell everybody I'm from Vegas because I grew up in Vegas, left there when I was 18. And I just hate when everyone's like, oh, where are you from? I'm like, I'm from Vegas. Like, oh, you were born there?
Sure.
Yeah, whatever. And yeah, so, like, no. I was born in California. And then when I was two, nobody wants to hear that. Move on.
Yeah. Just bullet points. Nobody has the attention span.
No, that's just manners half the time. Nobody cares. You
know? Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. And they're checking their phone.
Yeah. Hey, wait.
Checking their Instagram.
Don't you want to know?
All they're going to remember is you said you were from Vegas anyway, so just go with it.
Yeah, whatever. I'm from there. Yeah.
Because there's a luster to it as well. So Larry's from Vegas.
Yeah, I'm from there. And then it's weird, too, because, instead of saying Nevada, it's Vegas. And it's not to sound like that. It's just because that's the city I know. You know, it's weird.
That's what everybody knows.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, exactly.
It's one of the worldwide destinations. Yeah. Everybody
just rename the state Vegas already. God.
So what is it that made you come out here at the tender age of 18 as a pup?
A ripe little grape that I was. Yeah. I love film. I directed a lot of theater. That's where I started directing. So directing theater, loved it. Loved working with actors. And then I said, I love movies too. Let's put it together. And then I went to film school out here for 4 years. Columbia College Hollywood.
Nice.
Shout out to them. Good people. Raised me right. And yeah, I learned a lot there, and it was a very small school, so it was very hands-on. So I already just started working on stuff day one there already, just like shorts, and just like, I want to do this, and I want to do this. And I learned about camera angles, and the stuff that I've done in college I hated because it's so simple, and I was still just trying to find my style, as we've talked about. So it's taken a while, and a lot of independent stuff, and blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
But you do. It's the same thing like with doing... this, like people have said to me, like, oh, you're so good at being able to get on a show and just keep it moving for an hour. Well, I never started doing a live anything until 6 months ago.
Yeah.
It's just reps.
Yeah, like, exactly.
You kind of have to do it. And then you find how you handle yourself.
Perfect. Yeah.
So yeah, it's
like going to the gym.
Yeah. And that's what I say. I was like, it's just reps. I only do an hour a week. So it's been a very slow progression, but steady enough I've been doing this for just about 6 months now out of the studio. So you get used to it. And same thing with shooting those films. Like, if they make you do rudimentary stuff, which I would imagine to start, just for you to get comfortable with the equipment and just
100%, yeah.
Yeah, get that down.
My first shoot, I was so nervous and it was just so weird. So it's like that reps, so to speak. The gym start off with a beer gut, film-wise, metaphor, stupid, and then now, trimmed down a little bit just because of all the work. But so it's been weird to just see the evolution of it. Since I said like theater, it's like so two-dimensional to move into three-dimensional world is very interesting.
And it's immediate too, because film, you get endless takes.
Yeah.
Then coming from theater is like,
oh God. Yeah.
Does that inform your directing? Do you try to get everybody to nail it?
Kinda, yeah. Yeah, a little bit. I kind of cheat because close-ups are a thing you don't have with theater, so it's like it's cool. It's like if you mess up, you know, whatever. It's like I like wide takes, but or wide shots, but close-ups can be good too. So it's like, do it. In your own,
It's funny, with proper actors are kind of used to that anyway. It's like, are you going to do coverage? Do what now? Oh, yeah, the close-up. Yeah, sure.
Exactly.
We'll do a couple of those. And then you'd be like, I guess I'll use them. We shot it. So,
yeah, we did.
Might as well.
It helps, too, because theater people like to talk about theater and also themselves. So it helps a lot to just be like, they're like, I was in The Music Man. I'm like, oh, I love The Music Man because I sang a song from it once. Go on. Like, oh, you sang a song? I did, too. I was,
Which is one of the things, frankly, about being out here, because there is a theater community.
Yeah.
So
it's lovely. They're lovely people, by the way. I love actors. That sounds awful.
You love the actors we know.
I love those ones. Yeah.
Skilled, talented people, not egos.
If you have a headshot in Hollywood, I don't know if anybody out there does who lives in Hollywood has a headshot.
You might have a hard time nailing one down.
Yeah. Well, good for you if you got it. That takes a lot of time.
I hate that. It's such a stupid thing, because I got a thing from my agent saying, please send us your most up-to-date headshot, your most up-to-date demo, blah, blah, blah. Because they just said, we're changing up our site. We want to make sure we have everything resended anyway. This sounds such like a Hollywood douchey thing. So forgive me for mentioning it. But I just got this email over the weekend. And now that... the last photo shoot I did was actually for the aforementioned The Only Podcast That Matters, when we did our final photo shoot last September in anticipation of the end of the show. So my most recent photo shoot was 10 months ago, which I thought, I'm just going to use that. That should be fine, right? Yeah, sure. Just a couple solo shots of me, and I'll just pick the best one to use that. Because the whole, as much of a natural born ham as I am, I hate just standing there and like posing just because you feel so... I don't know. I just feel So weird doing that. Like just getting on camera. As much as I'm fine with performing, I'm fine with being on camera. Like I don't have any inhibitions about that. But just stand and have your photo taken and try to look
a natural
certain way. Yeah, I can't do it.
Always weird. Always weird.
It's such an uncomfortable thing. I mean, I'm sure people are into it and people love doing it. It's like getting photos of them. But
if you can do a natural headshot, God bless you. That's great. Because that's, I agree. Yeah, same thing. It's like, I don't mind cameras, clearly. Hello. But the, to like be in your natural environment and just be like posing, but not posing and have an emotion, but not really. You have to have neutral emotions. It's like a, you have to be sad, but also very happy. So they know you can do both emotions, you know.
Right. Yeah. With can we have a little more energy in your eyes.
Like, yeah.
I don't understand.
Put those shy eyes away. Bring them out.
Oh, it's so funny. And I was thinking, boy, am I glad I have a recent enough photo.
Yeah.
Because I had a friend who worked on a production where the most recent headshots for some of the actors who came in to audition were like from 6 years ago. They had it with multiple people.
Oh, yeah.
When, you know, they were 8 pant sizes shorter and had more hair and all sorts of stuff. Like there were all sorts of things. Like they came in and they didn't resemble their current headshot.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, we hate that.
That happens.
I said, I can imagine. It's totally. It's gotta happen. So when I said, I was talking about it with him and saying, my most recent one was from last September. He's like, that's fine. If it's within the last year, that's a positive for anybody who's looking for anything. But it's also voice acting, so it's not as big a deal.
Right? Yeah.
It's a voice acting agency.
Yeah. I hate when that happens. So that happens a lot. People always their headshots are from years and years ago. Just going, what'd you expect? I was gonna see you. It's not like you're gonna magically turn into that headshot.
Yeah.
And like you are fully prepared for me to go, who are you? Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah. It's a weird, weird thing. I mean, I guess they figure, well, this will get me in the room and that'll show them what I can do. But if you don't look, a lot of it's so much of it's based on the look.
Kind
of. Because they know what they want, but they don't. So a bunch of people come in who all look similar. And it's like, if you don't look like that photo anymore, it doesn't matter.
I did that kind of on purpose, I guess. I, fun fact, auditioned for Baby Geniuses 3. That's right.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a third one. Third installment of that great franchise.
That trilogy.
Yeah. Who could forget?
Timeless.
But anyway.
The timeless Baby Geniuses 3.
And I don't act. I hate acting. No, I don't want that. But it was just kind of like a favorite for my school. And I was there, and it was the strangest thing because I had to bring a headshot for me to look younger. Like my role that I was reading for was one of the employees for like this chicken stand. And he had and it was in England, shot in England or something, or the setting was in England.
Right.
And it was like,
meanwhile, shot in Santa Clarita.
Exactly. Right. Shot in, somewhere. And it was like with an English accent. And like, I don't like to act anymore, and I don't want to do accents ever. So it was just like a weird thing. But I used the headshot to be like, I look like an employee because it was mine from like 4 years ago. And then at that audition, it was just all like 18-year-old girls, all blonde and the same height. Like they just cloned them out. They all sat there, and then like a bunch of babies.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it was. And just me, just like this weird.
Just you in the middle.
Yeah, with that old headshot. It's like, I don't know what I'm doing here. But
Yeah. Nobody else here for the British fried chicken stand guy? No.
Yeah, right.
Nobody? Just me?
Not that day.
You guys are too young. You're all too pretty.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess it's going to be me.
It's going to be me, no.
So school is a 4-year program?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
BFA.
Oh, that's right. Bachelor of Fine Arts.
Bachelor of Fine Arts,
For people who don't know.
Yeah.
Wow.
Four years. And go by quick because you're always just so busy there. That's the thing, you know.
Yeah.
Especially if you're just doing shoot after shoot after shoot. It's just like, where did all the time go? And
Yeah. But it's cool, though. I actually moved out to California the first time, long story, but with a friend who was in film school. And they kind of, it was only a year program, but they hit the ground running and were just shooting all the time at odd hours. I mean, I think it was more condensed because it was a 1-year program. So, but
that's intense,
it wasn't as elaborate. Yeah. So he was always at all hours working on something. And it was very, I don't want to say rushed, but, you know, again, condensed.
Yeah.
Where he had to just go through everything and there were, like levels of completion, almost like achievements. If you're for the video game audience, of which there's virtually none for this show, but just
for
the sake of argument. Yeah. Well, not yet.
Oh.
We'll see what impact you have on that. But just the rate he had to kind of learn things and then move on to doing the next level. But it was also kind of weird they had to switch roles. Like some people went in saying they wanted to be, most of them wanted to be directors, but then some of them changed their concentration to producing or different technical jobs. Yeah, again, technically, I know nothing from the equipment side of it, so I can't even speak to everything they focused on. But they had their degree was concentrating in producing, directing, etc. Yeah. So I guess DP would be one of them.
We have the same kind of program, different emphasis, you know.
Emphasize,
to what you're going to major in. And they tell you in the beginning, too, it's like that 80% of people will change their major.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. I want to direct and only direct. And at the end of it, it was that. But, you know, I was just part of that 20%. Everybody else, though, it was kind of cool to see people move on. It's like for Ryder to be like the best producer, you know, or the producer, like the best DP I know. We're like, dang, you're talented. Good for you.
Well, I think it's kind of good because when you get in an environment like that, especially when it comes to actually doing the job, like your program sounds very hands-on. Mm-hmm. So once people start doing it, they may realize that as passionate as they are for it, they don't have the ability, or once they're actually doing it, it may not be their thing. At least doing it on the school level, where they may say, "All right, this isn't what I'm angling towards at all," or "This isn't what I thought it would be. I don't want to dip into this as a profession." Yeah. It's not like med school where they spend eight years, and it's just like, "Oh God, I don't even like the sign of blood.
What have I done?
I'm out." So they probably get in there and they're like, "Well, the producer handles all this stuff," or like the DP or what have you. Director of photography, by the way, for the porn freaks who are listening to this. That's a huge job, which always gets a laugh out of people. You mentioned DP. it's like, director of photography.
Yeah. No,
come on. It's just an abbreviation. It's not a douchey Hollywood term. This is the DP.
DP?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your focus, you end up sticking with directing. And then what happened after school? What was the move?
Oh, man. Oh, after school, I made the genius decision to work at Edible Arrangements. Shout out to Edible Arrangements.
That's a straight line from film school.
It's a great one. Yeah, of course. Yeah, everybody does that route. That was just to make money or something. I was stupid. But I went there. I unthawed the strawberries at 9 a.m. or 5 a.m., like 5 a.m. shifts and stuff. Mm. And like, I worked Valentine's Day, which is like a crazy huge rush there. And we got the biggest balloon that was like always out of stock was the "I'm sorry" balloon, which I loved for some reason, because we had like "I love you," "it's a boy," "it's a girl," and stuff, and it's like "I'm sorry," and those were always out of stock, and I would always work in the front and I would get calls about that. I'd be like, yeah, and like, "Oh, can I add a balloon?" "Yeah, yeah, which one do you want?" I'm sorry balloon. I'm like, oh yeesh, okay, sorry. Yeah,
they would be dudes calling in, right?
Oh yeah,
okay.
Oh yeah, old dudes always. Yeah. And
call with their mistress.
Yeah, call her up. And like sometimes they didn't even want it, the mistresses. I had to deliver also sometimes. I delivered on Valentine's Day. That was hell. And I went to a hospital where this girl was working, and then I brought it to her, and it was an "I'm sorry" balloon, of course. And I'm going there with the fruit basket, and she sees it, and she goes, "I don't want that." And she goes, "Throw it away, throw it all away." I'm like, "I can't. Just take it or sign, because I need your signature." She's like, "I'm going to sign, but you throw that away." I said, "Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
I'm out." Good waste of fruit.
I threw it away into my belly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, why wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you?
It's like, I'm going to make films. I'm not expecting to have any money.
Yeah. So I wasn't focusing on that at all. I was focusing on my fruit career at the time, I guess. I don't know. For some reason, I didn't focus on film for a while. It took like a vacation because I just worked hard, so I thought, hard on a bunch of stuff. So I was just like, I'm just going to take some months off, clear my head. Did. And then, yeah.
When did you start shooting the shorts on your own? How recently? I mean, I know they went up within the last year, I believe. It was within the last 9 months or so.
Yeah, I'm going to say September. September, I came up with this idea to push myself because it's hard after film school to do everything on your own. And I have a lot of people who helped me. Shout out to them. Awesome people. But It's hard to like keep everything on your back and do everything on your own. So it's like, I don't want to do that. It's so hard. And I was like, but if I force myself to. So I started this thing where it's like we would do a short every month on the first.
Good.
Yeah. So it's like August 1st, it'd be a short. September 1st, it'd be a short. And Hannah Clifton, a friend of mine from work, she's my director of photography, my DP. No, don't. Thank you. Calm down, everybody. Yeah. So we talked about it and just like working together, and we realized we have the same vision about everything. And I love her eye, great photographer, great DP. So it goes hand in hand. And now when we're...
Right, that's the last one.
Please don't. No, keep going.
Okay. Well, now that you've said it.
We work really well, and we're still working together. We're working on a new one, and it's cool. So like I'm doing it because she's doing it with me, kind of. And I have a couple friends too where, you know, we're going to be hopefully working together on future stuff. I'm just trying to broaden people we're working with and stuff. Because we work with a very small crew. The thing with Lawrence Berling for Colorless, it was me and Hannah. That was it. Just us.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's just us. No lighting people and nothing. And like sometimes I would hold like a you know, tinfoil or something to reflect the sun. Some stupid, but just two people.
It's DIY. I mean, hey, that's how everybody's getting things done right now. So yeah. It makes perfect sense. That's actually really practical. I'm sure people use it, but I've never heard of that. So
that's a thing.
Smart idea to give the soft light
that's what he did.
To the female lead's face.
Exactly. Yeah. Tinfoil is burning. Yeah.
Colorless, incidentally. Features two people who've been on Cape, which is Lauren Sperling is the lead actress, and the lead actor is Adam Chambers, who was on here with the show with Adam and Sean, who were on a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And he's an actor as well.
Love
as
that.
We talked about that. Yeah. And so they were leads in that, which was cool.
Yeah.
So, and again, I'll post that on the Cape 58 post at chrisball.com. You guys can watch Colorless and The Hanging Fellow, which is the first one I saw of yours. I didn't realize you did Colorless because Lauren had posted it on our social media, and I saw, oh, okay, cool. Lauren did something. And I didn't, it just didn't register. Oh, this is Larry, who I met doing Scared Houseless, because you shot the night I was in Scared Houseless, but not really, because I was just a zombified extra in the background.
Yeah.
who I don't think I was anywhere in the final cut, which is fine.
That wasn't the idea. So.
I mean, I was probably on camera in montage shots, but noticeably.
Boy, were you my favorite extra.
Well, thank you very much.
I mean,
I had the best makeup.
Oh,
let me tell you.
100%. Yeah. That was great.
I hands down the best makeup. But that was actually, I didn't make the connection. It was just like, oh, Larry from Scared Houses did this. Okay, cool. And then when I saw, I forget who posted The Hanging Fellow. It was when I saw that, and I was just like, wow. And that was more, I mean, aside from the fact that Colorless, which I don't want to talk about it too much because people should be watching it. So watch it and you'll see there's a certain visual style to it, which everyone will see once they watch it. And but The Hanging Fellow, I thought visually, I was like, oh, it's really cool. Very dark comedically too, which I loved.
Yeah.
I was like, cackling at the end of it because it's a very dark subject.
I had to go through that for some reason because all my earlier stuff, college stuff, high school stuff was so happy and so light and fun and great. And I don't know why. And people ask too when they see some of the stuff. It's like, you all right? Like, I'm so happy. I'm great with life. It's great. It's just like I feel like I need to just tell it. And the that saying, like, write about what you know. I never do that because I don't know about killing myself or being in a colorless world or like all these weird things that we're doing.
Right.
That it's just,
you can just write pure fantasy though.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course. That's what it is. It's fantasy.
Yeah.
A weird fantasy. But fantasy. Yeah.
I don't think these metal bands have ever fought a dragon. They're able to write songs about it. So what the
know.
Hell?
I don't know.
Ronnie James Dio never once fight a dragon.
I don't like to believe that.
I mean, it'd be great if he did, but I doubt it.
Yeah.
Look, it's before the smartphone era. So we'll never know. But I'm going to go with no. But he was still able to write convincing songs. So you should be able to write fictitious stuff.
Yeah. I continued to do that. Yeah. Yeah. It's dark. It's weird.
It's dark, but it's really cool.
I went through a weird Wes Anderson / Louis phase. I think maybe that's what I have to blame it on. Like, why has it changed so drastically, the style? Because I love Wes Anderson.
Right.
And his style so much. But his style is so original that you don't want to copy it. And I don't even want to dare step at it. Because I hate when people do that stealing. It's like, it's cool for a shot or two, but not the whole style. Don't steal your style.
Yeah, because you're immediately just going to get compared to, oh, this guy's a Wes Anderson ripoff.
You want to match to a certain extent. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can take an influence from it.
Of course.
That was one of the things that people were critical about when J.J. Abrams did Super 8.
Oh, yeah.
Where they said a lot of shots were almost direct ripoff. As far as the negative things I heard about it, people were saying I ripped this off from Steven Spielberg or ripped this off from John Landis or whomever from that era of sci-fi directors.
Yeah.
Of yore. And they just didn't like that it was just too clearly he's just doing that instead of his own thing.
It's dangerous to be a big-time director and mention who your influences are because then all the people go back.
Film
nerds or just people who are bored. Really? It's like, oh, he did steal that from that.
Well, especially now in the pounce generation where everybody just wants to jump all over everybody
pounce
else.
Pounce generation. That's perfect.
That's what it is. Yeah. That's the best thing for, I believe Eddie Trunk calls it that.
That's
but
genius.
It's true. It's like everybody just wants to jump on whatever.
Exactly.
Whatever's going on. Let's look it up on Twitter.
Yeah.
See everything.
Exactly.
See everything you've ever said and never posted and whatever, because it all lives forever.
That's what it is. It's gross. But there's so much content that we can just keep moving on. Doesn't matter anymore. 50 Cent went bankrupt today, or he's filing for bankruptcy.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
And everyone's going to forget about it next week.
I already forgot about it today because I woke up to that news and went, oh, man, dang. Sorry, man. And then, just couple minutes before coming in here, I was just on my phone and I was going, oh yeah, he did. I forgot about it. I was just already a day. It doesn't matter. Anyway.
Yeah, just keep moving forward.
Just
Nobody remembers
going.
Anything.
Who cares?
This is such a such a cycle of things that nobody's going to remember. Even the bad stuff, everybody just kind of moves past it. Like, ah, okay.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Yeah, it's over.
Let's move on to the next thing. It's funny you mentioned Louis, because that's something a lot of people kind of took the, because I, frankly, I don't, and I, of course, watched his show on TV, and it's something that a lot of people kind of, they don't give him credit necessarily for directing or for what he does. They just look at his writing and they look at him on camera and like, ah, with his daughters and everything else. But I think as far as taking that and being really, really do it yourself with it, as far as, you know, here's the budget, you shoot it and then turn it in and just stay under budget. And the fact that he directs and edits a lot of it on his Mac and,
yeah,
and all the stuff he puts together. And now it's become something where people want to do that. Whereas nobody considered doing something that was that rugged or even guerrilla style, maybe. Maybe an exaggerated use for what he did.
Yeah, but it's like a cleaner guerrilla style.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's using high-quality cameras, and he's cutting it on professional software. But nobody, you know, just it being very raw, it's kind of like a more stripped-down version of, let's say, something like The Office, that kind of almost freehand camera documentary style that would follow people around. But instead, this is very much like, it's, it looks like a slice of life, but everybody knows it's a show.
Exactly, yeah. They, you know. Louis has never seen a tripod in his life. And if he did, he'd be frightened and go, what is it? Yeah, exactly.
Which is great, because it's moving with the action. Actually, the first, or one of the episodes that I saw, which is up for the Jim Gaffigan show, which is premiering this week, is similar enough in the way it, it follows things around. I mean, you can tell there are setups.
Yeah.
Where it's not just somebody walking around behind a person with a camera following the action, but it's interesting that I guess, and not putting down Jim Gaffigan's show, it's hilarious. At least the episode I saw of it was. And it's interesting, though, how that seems to be like a style another show with another comedian is going for. Not totally, not a ripoff way, but I think that, that there's more of a desire because he did that, which even though there's some, like I said, that docu-style, you know, the shows, tons of NBC shows, for instance, even though it's way polished compared to, say, Louis, at least as far as I can tell, his looks more on the fly.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's tons of planning that goes into it. But it's interesting now that you take, you know, another comedian who's doing a show like that, and it's, you know, stylistically it's kind of similar, where like that's almost a template now, which is interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting when a style becomes huge and then how people kind of take that and spin that, you know.
Yeah.
Same with like The Office, that, that started a huge phenomena.
Yeah.
Now, even like The Dark Knight, you know. Or Batman Begins, Christopher Nolan, just dark, gritty. Now everybody wants to be dark, gritty. It's
like, yeah.
That looks nice. It's like, throw a filter on there, make it as dirty as possible.
Yeah.
It's grimy.
Have it. Well, that seems to be the tone they're going for now, especially with all the DC trailers that dropped this weekend.
Yeah. Oh,
with,
hey,
with Comic-Con.
Which, by the way, are amazing.
It's like everything's going to be dark and gritty.
Yeah.
And it's, everyone's, well, not downtrodden, but, you know, it's, this ain't your...
No.
This ain't your father's Batman.
Yeah, your father's Batman was lame, but these ones are dark and cool. Yeah, I love that trailer. I think that's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate superhero movies.
Really?
Yeah, I hated Man of Steel, but
I did too.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I have zero expectations.
Of course. But
Batman versus Superman, Rush to the Justice League.
But that trailer.
Yeah. See, it's one of those things people have been bugging me. All right, now we've opened up this can of worms. So let's talk about it. I didn't want to bring up, not that I didn't want to bring up Comic-Con anything, but it's something everyone's talking about.
Yeah, come on.
And again, we'll be forgotten about when some other trailer drops next week. But since Comic-Con was this past weekend, my thing is, because of Man of Steel and the fact that I thought it was boring more than anything else, I just didn't dig it. And it's, it's stupid violent, especially at the end. I was like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
I have such low expectations for that in the first place. We're like, maybe it'll be good.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'll have to see more of it. But you can really make anything look good for 2.5 minutes. Perfect example, every single Transformer movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course.
I mean, the trailers look amazing. Every time it's just like, you know, this could be the one. This is going to turn it around. And they all suck.
They're all just interesting. Yeah. Trailers will get you, man. Trailers will get you.
They will.
My biggest one was The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. If anyone remembers that, of Monsters and Men song playing over it. Mm-hmm. Beautiful song, beautiful trailer. I was so in. Stupidly, the year began with me going like, Walter Mitty, that's that movie. It's going to be crazy. Mm-hmm. Saw it. No.
That's not what you were hoping for at all.
Man, what happened? Because I actually like Ben Stiller as a director. Tropic Thunder, Cable Guy. Zoolander course. Yeah. All good. Like, all, he's only getting, like, better. So I thought, like, okay, so Walter Mitty. And then rumors for the Oscars for him to be nominated. I'm like, really? Yeah. All right. Let's, I want to see this.
Yeah, it opened, like, didn't it open Christmas Day or something? Or right in the middle of where everybody's pushing the Oscar-heavy stuff.
Of course.
And it just didn't, it didn't pan out, really.
Yeah. Went under. Sorry.
And that's one of the, I hate when trailers mislead the tone and everything. Like, I think that was part of the problems that it took a while for everybody to come around with something like The Truman Show, where it's like, it's a Jim Carrey comedy. This is going to be great. And then there's so much more to it than they could have possibly explained in 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
And so people are like, what the hell is this? And now it's appreciated, especially now more than ever, you know, as a grander statement about, like, that's kind of the way we're going with everybody watching everybody else 24 hours a day.
That's exactly right.
And everybody having a camera on them.
We still have like staples, though. We have the Melissa McCarthy movies.
Oh, yeah.
The Tyler Perry, I guess. Madea hasn't been around recently. That's a shame.
No.
Where's she been? But, you know, like...
Is it a shame?
I think so. I love those movies. So, yeah, we still have those, like, because even back in the 90s, that, like, Jim Carrey owned the 90s, basically, you know? I'm glad that we still have our consistent... Even Michael Bay with Transformers. It's like, you still have those little staples to get you through the year. Now with Star Wars, that's going to be, you know, you can rely on a Star Wars movie every year, you know?
Yeah. 3 in 18 months, which everyone's way excited about.
Yeah, it's going to be intense.
Are you, well, let me ask you, because you're sitting here.
Yeah.
Are you one of those people who cried at the Star Wars stuff? I don't know if you're a Star Wars guy or not.
Yeah, I like Star Wars. I don't love it. I like it a lot. No, actually, no, I love it. I love it. It's great. It's great. It's just fun. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
A little at the end with Han Solo. Yeah, it's great. Of course. Yeah, who did?
Did you squirt a few tears to get a little dusty?
I did, yeah.
I mean,
nostalgia, that's our big thing right now.
Oh, it's all about nostalgia.
Let's tap into that, you know? And that worked. That hit a huge nostalgia bone because that's, you know, from the set. We haven't seen a good Star Wars movie in theaters since the 80s.
Yeah.
So people, you know, that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, that's why everyone's looking forward to that. See, as far as talking about like mainstream stuff, my fear was that, especially when it comes to particularly the insane success of Jurassic World, I thought, I hope like the way Avatar kicked off 3D, like had insane success, and then it's like, everything's going to be in 3D.
Yeah.
Now with Jurassic World, it's like, oh good, we can resurrect and breathe new life into all our old franchises and just start them up again. And I'm like, I hope that doesn't happen because not everything deserves
it doesn't.
A fresh.
But they will.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Even for, like, they're talking about two more Jurassic movies, and I'm like, and I love Jurassic World. I had a lot of fun with that movie. Yeah. I really, really enjoyed it, but it's like, okay, twice you were able to get away with making good movies where people are trapped in a park where dinosaurs are loose. You guys can't ring this bell a third time. So the sequel can't involve people being trapped in a park because it's going to be more of the same.
But they'll do it and they'll try.
I
wouldn't be surprised if we get like a Home Alone remake with Macaulay Culkin as the dad now and he leaves his son at home.
Like a Girl Meets World thing.
Yeah, exactly.
How we're changing the cycle now.
Girl Meets World is the perfect example because Boy Meets World is my favorite show of all time.
Really?
Best show. I grew up, Corey Matthews is the reason I am the man I am today.
It's a bold statement.
That's a true statement. That's it right there. But so when that show came out, I remember being so stoked. And I think it's cute. I've actually watched a lot of episodes. I think it's good for kids because kids don't have shows that force them to be good people. Corey Matthews, Arnold from Hey Arnold. That was another dude who helped because, those are guys who always do the right thing.
Right.
Now, kid shows, I feel old saying now kid shows, it's all about just farting and pooping on each other. And, you know, nothing wrong with that. But, you know.
But you're not wrong.
You got to have some messages here and there. And,
no, I agree.
Yeah.
Some pathos. Prize. Mm-hmm. It can be cleverly disguised.
It can be, yeah. Girl Meets World has, their subtext isn't as, there isn't really any subtext. It's all about just like, here's the message, gang. Give to your friends and you'll get some good stuff back to you. You know,
okay, like so that. It's more like hitting you with a blunt object.
It is.
That's immoral.
But in the background, you see the characters that you grew up and loved in the 90s, so I don't care. Bad acting, bad lines. I'm like, whatever. Eric Matthews is in the back. That's pretty cool. Like, who cares? It's like,
nostalgia wins.
Yeah, nostalgia will always win, especially with Boy Meets World in my heart. Yeah. So to wrap it around, yes, I like Han Solo at the end. I think that's cool.
Gotcha.
Teared up. Yeah, why not?
I'm curious about it, just like everybody else is. I don't have massive expectations, but I'm interested.
I'm
not going to lie.
I think it's okay.
I want to see what's going to happen. Can I have to rewatch the old ones?
Yeah, of course. I trust
you. The original three.
Mm-hmm.
And see where it goes. But
I trust it. I think it's all good. I think like music too plays a huge part because that score, pretty good, traditional.
Oh, iconic.
Course,
yeah.
Of course. And then even like with Quentin Tarantino's, you've seen The Hateful Eight.
Oh.
The new, the composer for that guy did Good, Bad, and the Ugly. That's amazing.
Scored a movie in 40 years.
40 years. Oh my God. So like that's going to have an impact. You know, I love movies that have the soundtracks impacted.
Yeah. I'm excited too because in light of his Hateful Eight panel, he says, I don't think you could be considered a Western director unless you've made three Westerns. So he said, I guess I'm doing at least one more.
Yeah,
I'm
like, yes!
So we won! It took a few days, but Django Unchained and
oh, man.
I disagree with it, but it rocketed to my favorite Tarantino movie.
Oh, really?
I just loved everything about it. He doesn't have people, you know, kind of put down Death Proof. But only because it's Tarantino competing with... Yeah, you too?
Sorry.
It's Tarantino competing with Tarantino. Any other director would love to make a movie as cohesive as his worst movie, which let's say Death Proof for the sake of argument. But I mean, that's stiff competition with all, you know, how great his movies are.
If I could ask him one question, it would be, or I don't know if you know the answer to this, why he uses numbers with like the films. If you've seen this one, it's like the eighth film by Quentin Tarantino. I'm like, I've never seen that, I think, a director do.
Oh, yeah.
Kill Bill had that too. It's like fourth or whatever it was, you know.
It was the fourth, fifth.
It's like you asked for the fourth film, but I'm like, I don't need to know.
That is interesting. Yeah,
it's cool to know that. I don't need to know that, but yeah.
Like as a means of advertising, like you could just put Quentin Tarantino.
You just put
a film by Quentin Tarantino. Everyone's gonna go.
You could just say Quentin. We can just drop the Tarantino now too.
Like, has he gotten to Madonna and Bono status? Yeah,
absolutely. Who Quentin?
I don't know if you. Yeah, I don't think I can't name another Quentin. San Quentin, but that's not the same.
No, I knew a kid in Quentin. Or a kid named Quentin in elementary school. He didn't have a fingernail on his middle finger.
Really?
So I don't think anyone's going to get those two confused, though. So just
probably not.
Just put Quentin.
Would you imagine, though, you're sitting in a theater, Hateful Eight trailer comes on. Oh, shit, Quentin without
a fingernail. Oh, man, how do you do that without that fingernail? What?
Oh, man, the guy learned how to work a camera, though. Look at him.
Find him.
Dude's living the dream. Could you imagine?
Oh, man. I hope he's listening. Quentin, I went to Nate Mack Elementary School in Henderson, Nevada. You didn't have a fingernail. You probably still don't. Okay.
Somebody knows him and somebody's listening.
He's going to know.
Like, dude, someone shouted you out on this podcast.
He's going to find out.
That'd be amazing. Now he can go. He should go by Quentin now before Tarantino starts using it full on.
He's got the race against Tarantino.
He's going to have to.
He's not well established.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah.
Nowadays, it doesn't matter.
Just say something funny on Twitter and you'll be bigger than
now.
Him. Yeah.
And just so that way it's taken so Quentin Tarantino can't come and ruin it.
I'm a fan though.
I'm so excited for that. I'm going to be every Christmas and New Year's I go home to New Jersey.
Oh, cool.
And I know that Hateful Eight's coming out limited release on Christmas Day. I don't know how far I'm going to have to drive from Central Jersey. But
you're doing it.
Damn it, I'm going.
Absolutely.
I need to see it. And I want to see it because I love Django so much. I took my parents to see it 2 days after I saw it because my dad likes Westerns, you know,
he's
born in the 40s. So, you know, he grew up and that was what was on TV and the movies that were out. And I was just like, not only is this a great Western, this is just a great movie, period. And I knew my mom would like it as well. Cause I was like, Christoph Waltz is so great. You have to see this movie. You guys are going to love this movie. And they did. So I said, when I talked to him a couple weeks ago, I'm like, Hateful Eight, it's happening at Christmas. We're going to have to go somewhere and go see this movie.
Cool.
I'm so excited.
I'm excited too.
I'm more excited for that than Star Wars. So blasphemy, I know.
I am too. Yeah. Just because I'm a Quentin fan way more than a Star Wars fan. So
Quentin Tarantino fan or Quentin the fingernail fan? Just so he's clear.
That guy played a big part in my life.
Yeah.
For 3 great years.
So you're a big fan of both Quentins.
Yeah.
The two Quentins.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, what a great name for a movie.
The Two Quentins.
I think we're going to have to buy the twoquentins.com when we get out of here.
We better
head out.
Okay.
So, Laya Rodriguez, once again, I'm going to put a color list. Well, I'll put a link to his channel in the Kate58 post. Go to chrisabal.com.
Thanks.
You guys can check out his shorts. Again, Colorless and The Hanging Fellow. And I'm drawing a blank on what the third one was.
The Invention That Changed a Nation.
That was it.
Yeah.
Which I have seen them all. And that one, for some reason, it didn't pop out. Not saying anything against it.
No.
I just totally blanked on that one. I will put those links, again, Kate58 post at chrisabottle.com. And you got any social media you want to plug? And get things like that?
No, just those ones. Just focusing on the YouTube stuff right now. And we're going to have some crazy good stuff coming out soon.
More to come, everybody.
The shorts that are on there are an appetizer. If you don't like it, hang in there. We're going to get better. It's only going to get better. Only
the main
up from
course
here.
Will redeem.
Yep. No, we're going to be great.
Out there already.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so subscribe now.
Yes.
And beat your friends to it, everybody.
Please.
And follow me as well.
Hey, this guy's great.
Yeah.
Do
Chris Abalo on Twitter. And Chris Sells out on Instagram. And of course, subscribe to Chris Abalo's podcast experiment on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. We appreciate it. And visit our friends at audible.com.
Ooh.
Get yourself a free audiobook and a free 30-day trial.
That's always
and
great.
Check out, yeah, get and listen to it on your smartphone like I do. Or listen to it at home. Listen to it from the cloud. Download to your device. Doesn't matter. What you do to claim your free audiobook is go to audibletrial.com/cape. Sign up. Get a free audiobook. It's free. Do it. Go do it and show our sponsors some love and support the show. And follow the show at Cape Pod on Tumblr and Twitter and Instagram. And like the show as well on Facebook for all your Cape needs. And, of course, tune in every Monday night at 9 p.m. at skidrowstudios.com and watch or listen to the show live. And we will be back next Monday, of course. So, until next time, for Larry Rodriguez and Ryan Taggart, this is noseatbeltblog.com as well. This is Chris Abalo, and this was yet another experiment. See you next week.